The Only Thing That Will Quench My Thirst, written by Very Rach and read by Flower Parish. This is a DC fic, rated explicit, for the relationship Tim Drake / Jason Todd. It's Jason who realizes something is wrong for a change. Usually, it's Tim who figures this kind of shit out, but this time, Jason gets there first. Of course, the intense case of sudden-onset telepathy is a pretty big clue. Jay runs into Tim on patrol, wandering through a warehouse by the docks and poking around in shipping crates. "Looking for something in particular?" Jason asks, sneaking up behind him. He absolutely does not pout when Tim isn't startled by his appearance. Or just being nosy. Oracle picked up some chatter about a shipment of contraband occult goods coming in from Belgium, Tim murmurs. Despite his efforts to be quiet, his voice still carries in the echoey space. "I'm just checking it out." Tim lifts the lid on a wooden crate near him as he speaks. He's distracted, hardly paying attention to Jason, or to anything around him, really, just poking around with his brow furrowed in concentration. It's adorable, but Jason's still going to mock him for his lack of situational awareness when a giant puff of vaguely shimmering, rainbow-colored dust bursts out of the crate. Tim sneezes once, delicately, like a kitten or a geriatric ant, and then again, violently, like a bulldog who's stuck his whole snout in a bag of pepper. Tim looks over at Jason, brow still wrinkled up, and opens his mouth. He closes it again, without saying anything, and then coughs once into his palm. A tiny puff of shimmery rainbow powder hangs in the air around his face, giving him the appearance of a brightly glittering sprite, unearthly and strange, before fading away delicately. It would be very beautiful if it wasn't also creepy as fuck. "Well, this is unexpected," Tim says suddenly, except he doesn't say anything at all. Jason narrows his eyes and takes a step towards Tim. "Oh God, his thighs. His fucking thighs. I'm going to have an aneurysm." "Hey Tim, you okay?" Jason asks. Tim's eyes snap to meet his, and they're wider than he's ever seen them before, his usual baseline hypercaffeinated semi-mania unnaturally heightened. Looking around to check they're still alone, he takes his helmet off. "Shit, Tim, are you okay?" His lips have absolutely no right to look that good. They're criminal. They're breaking the law. The lip law. The law of lips. I should arrest his lips for crimes against me. I wonder what they'd feel like. Oh God, why did I think that? Now all I can think about is them against me. His lips on me. His lips on mine. I want to die. I want to fuck his mouth," Tim says. Or rather, those words appear in Jason's head without any input from Tim's mouth. "I'm fine," Tim says, audibly, with his mouth and everything. Jason stares at it. "Oh God, why is he staring at my mouth? Why is he staring at me at all? I fucking hate it. I love it. I love him. Why can't he leave me alone? This is torture. I want him. I want him to want me. I want him to disappear so I can have my life back. I want to rail him over a packing crate." "You sure?" Jason asks, tamping down the strain of panic rising in his chest. He's pretty sure they've got a telepathy situation on their hands, and he fucking hates those. He's not even beginning to think about the content of the telepathy. It must be the dust. Jason takes the part of his mind that thought, just for a second, but sincerely, that there was a chance Tim actually meant any part of what he was saying, and shoves it as far down inside his psyche as he can bear. He locks it away inside the safe of his subconscious and pretends this is just another normal day. In Gotham, it nearly is. "Yeah, I'm fine," Tim insists. "I want to lick the sweat out of the hollow of his throat. Hey, is it me or is it getting hot in here?" "Just you, I think." Jason frowns. The temperature seems fine to him, but Tim's cheeks have gone pleasantly pinkish and there's the hint of a sheen on his forehead that wasn't there earlier. Not that Jason had been paying that much attention to Tim's appearance earlier, of course. "Hey, Tim, you're gonna hate this, but I think we're gonna need to get Constantine to check you out," Jason says reluctantly. He hates to say it, Things are bad enough without getting Constantine involved, but he's not sure how much of Tim's inner monologue he can listen to without screaming. What? Why? Oh god, is something wrong with me? Am I going to die? If I'm going to die anyway, maybe I could ask him to choke me out with those thighs? Is something wrong? Or his tits. I could just shove my face right in there and die happy. Jason shakes his head, trying to clear his thoughts. He fucking hates this shit, anything that falls into Constantine's nebulous category of weird bollocks. Tim, I think... Oh shit. Tim curls over, one arm on his knees, the other arm wrapped tightly around his middle, and his breathing has changed, coming out fast but labored. Actually, I think you might be right. I want him. This is torture. I need him. It feels like I'm dying. I want him. Can you actually die of blue balls? Is that a thing? I didn't think it was a thing, but this doesn't feel good. Well, it does. It does feel good, but the sort of good that might be fatal, like death by chocolate. And I want him. It hurts. I'll die if I can't have him. I want him. I want him. I want him. Okay, don't freak out. Oh no, there is something wrong with me. It must be that dust. Is my face dusty? Is it sex dust? Is that why I feel like this? Oh shit. Think, Tim, think. Sex dust, sexy dust, rainbows, dusty rainbows, Belgium, chocolate, melty, slippery, lube, fucking Jay, bending him over and fucking him until he screams my name. For fuck's sake, Tim, I said don't freak out. Jason struggles to hang on to his own thoughts and not let his mind start contemporizing on the theme of being fucked into next weekend. I'm not freaking out, I'm perfectly fine. But Tim doesn't uncurl himself, stays bent double, arms locked in a death grip. Betty's tight, doesn't take it often, too wound up, doesn't trust anyone. I could help him relax, he knows me, I'd look after him, I know what he needs. I can hear you, Jason yells, cutting through the mental noise spewing from Tim like a telepathic geyser. Your thoughts, the things... All of them, Timmy. I can hear all of them. That does make Tim look up, wild-eyed in a way that Jason can't entirely ascribe to the pain he's currently feeling. You... What? I can hear you. Fuck, Tim, I... Shit. Jason wishes he'd kept his helmet on. He has no idea what his face is doing, but he doubts it's helping. Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh god, oh no, oh no, 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 no! This is bad. He's not supposed to know. I'm thinking about sushi instead. Isn't that fascinating? And the best thing about that is how it's utterly unrelated to Jason's powerful thighs or his world-class ass, which I'm not thinking about. And I'm definitely not thinking about stripping him naked and spreading those beautiful cheeks and eating him out until he's crying and whining and begging me to fuck him. Jesus Christ, Tim, Jason mutters, feeling a low heat rising up his face. You kiss Alfred with that mouth. I didn't say it, Tim grumbles, dropping his head again so he doesn't have to look Jason in the eye. Of course I didn't say it. I never say it. I have dedicated a not insignificant chunk of my life to suppressing it, specifically so I don't say it. Oh god. Oh fuck. Why does it hurt so bad? I can't think straight. When do I ever think straight? Shut up, Tim. Now is not the time for puns. Okay, that's enough. I'm gonna call Constantine, Jason says. This is... Tim? Tim! Tim falls to his knees, then slumps over onto his side, writhing violently until he's on his back, head thrown back and mouth open as his body is racked with tremors. Ah! Oh god, it hurts. It feels so good. Why does it feel like this? Ugh! This is busy. Jason had no idea it was possible to think a key smash, but if anyone was ever going to, it's Tim. He drops to his knees next to Tim's shaking body, and then freezes. He has no idea how to make this better, no idea at all what will help. What does it feel like? Jason asks. He isn't sure Tim will hear him over the cacophony in his head, but apparently he's used to it. Jason hates the implication that it's just like that, all the time, in there, and manages to turn towards him. Jay stares at his lips, soft and pink and shiny, and his heaving chest, and can't pretend that he's unmoved anymore. It's like the most exquisite agony. I've never been so turned on. I think the slightest brush of a single finger against my skin would make me explode. It feels as though I'm being edged by the entire universe. I think if I don't come soon, my mind will melt away into nothingness. Okay, hang on, Jason murmurs, fishing out his phone. He dials one-handed, grabs Tim's hand in the other, and lets him squeeze tight as he rides out the waves of pleasure and pain battling inside him. Time-sensitive question. Rainbowy powder, maybe from Belgium, makes you super horny but with a fun edge of feeling like you might die, Jason says, the moment Constantine picks up. Luckily, Constantine isn't a stickler for etiquette.
Ooh, dust of paradise. Haven't seen that in years. Hard to make, harder to clean up after. Don't breathe it in, whatever you do,
Constantine says. In the background, Jason hears a minor explosion. Or maybe it's a major one, but it's farther away. Yeah, it's a little late for that, Jason says with a sigh. Tell me there's something you can do.
Sorry, lad, there's nothing I can do,
Constantine says.
But there may be something you can do.
What? Jason asks. He doesn't need to wait for an answer. Oh no, no, fuck, tell me you don't mean what I think you mean.
Who is it?
Constantine asks, instead of giving him a straight answer.
Do you care about them?
I'm sorry, Jason says. He slips his hand under the waistband of Tim's underwear, works his way down by feel alone. It would be easier, in some ways, if Tim got fully naked. In other ways, it would make this impossible. Constantine said, "This is the only way. I'm sorry." I know, Tim says. I know. I'm not. I should be. Oh, fuck. Oh, God. I should be the sorriest creature that ever had the audacity to wander around on this tiny planet, but I'm not. I'm not. I want this. Want him. Want his hands on. Oh. Oh. Tim's thoughts fritz out in a burst of telepathic white noise when Jason's hand finds his cock. His back arches as he pushes himself up into his grip, hands scrabbling madly against the rough concrete warehouse floor. He's gorgeous, Jay thinks. He'd like to be able to ignore it the way he usually does, but it's impossible when Tim's cheeks are flushed and his lips are so pink and shiny, and he's right there, rocking up into Jay's touch. This isn't how this should go. Tim ought to be wined and dined before some asshole jerks him off, Jason thinks. And then, huh, didn't know I felt that way. He's grateful the telepathic bond between them is only flowing one way. Tim doesn't need to hear anything more right now, doesn't need to know that Jason has opinions about any of this. Yes, yes, please, Tim whines. Please, yeah, like that, just there, exactly there, tighter, hold on tighter, yeah, yes, yes. It's quite something, this level of instant feedback. Jason curls his fingers tighter, twists his wrists so the pad of his thumb pushes up underneath the head of Tim's cock on each stroke, and knows immediately exactly how much Tim likes that. The truly unexpected thing is how Jason feels about it. It's not how he'd imagined this, and yes, now he's here, with one hand down Tim's underpants and the other slowly losing feeling as Tim grips it far too tight. Now he can admit that maybe he has imagined this. Well, no, not this exactly, that's the point. But something kind of like this, maybe. Maybe he'd thought about how Tim would feel straddling him, skinny but strong, pressing his wrists down into the pillows, cradling his face with his long, delicate fingers, maybe pushing one inside him if Jay asked nicely. Jason shifts awkwardly, his own erection making him suddenly and irreversibly aware of just how tight his suit's pants could get. He pushes those thoughts aside. This isn't about him. Oh, God, this is perfect. This is everything. This is all I've ever wanted for years. I knew you'd be good at this. You're perfect. I love this. I love you. I love you. I love, Jay, fuck that. Do that again. Tim begs him wordlessly, mercifully distracting him. He gives up on speaking altogether, but he can't stop his mind, it seems. Jason strokes him to a silent soundtrack of Tim's pleas and entreaties, which start to lose coherence as the pleasure builds inside him. Jason can still hear his thoughts when they're wordless, though. They come through as formless bursts of emotion, waves of sensation that roll through him and leave him nearly as turned on as Tim, achingly hard inside his suit. Jason feels the moment Tim reaches the point of no return. He sees it in the way his mouth goes slack, feels it in the way his body goes so tense it's shaking, hears it but doesn't hear it in his mind in that way that's already become as familiar as Tim's actual voice. There are no words now, not really, only waves of pleasure that crash over Jason's mind, dragging him headlong towards his own orgasm, despite his better intentions. Jason disentangles his hand from Tim's clutches and slips it down his own pants, giving up all pretense that he's some kind of unaffected, dispassionate bystander in all of this. He grinds against his palm, rough and dirty, saving what little focus he has for Tim, on stroking him quickly, not letting his rhythm suffer because he can't keep a lid on his own desires. They come together, Jason with a low grunt and two suddenly tacky hands, and Tim with a silent, gasping intake of breath. The pair of them make an odd tableau, nearly still but for the panting as they both come down from the dust's pleasure high, and then Tim lurches up suddenly, rolling away from him and scrabbling to his feet. "Tim?" Jason asks. The last few fragments of Tim's thoughts are tumbling through his mind, falling into a shape that's not unwelcome for all that it's unfamiliar. "You love me?" "Give me a minute. I need to figure out the best way to start developing mind-wiping technology," Tim says. He's shaking slightly, a blade of grass in the breeze. Jason wonders which of their memories he wants to erase. "Tim, it's okay. It's okay," he says, surprised by how much he means it. He reaches for Tim and realizes his hands are still gross. He wipes them off on his pants with a grimace. "You love me." "It's not okay," Tim says, and Jason can hear it now, the thin, high whine of panic underlying his words. I never wanted you to know, okay? And now you had to. It's all terrible and nothing is okay. Nothing will ever be okay again. "You love me." "Shit. Fuck. Shit, Jay, I'm sorry. I didn't want you to find out. I never would have said anything, I swear. I'm so, so sorry." "I'm not," Jason says. "Fuck, for a smart guy, you can be such an idiot." He catches Tim's arm and pulls him in, kissing him fiercely. It's not a great kiss, really. It's messy and awkward. Jason's panicking too much to really get into it, and Tim's still wild-eyed and frantic. It's the best kiss of his life. They tumble to the floor. Tim pulls Jay down on top of him and then rolls them over, straddling him and gasping delightedly when Jay grabs his delicate thighs. He hardly weighs anything, and yet the press of his body commands Jay's entire attention. Tim runs hotter than expected, warm hands cupping his face and stroking down his neck, searching for any skin he can find. "Well?" Tim demands a moment later, pulling back and looking down at him expectantly. Jason stares back at him, blinking slowly. "Well, what?" Didn't you hear my question?" Tim asks. Jason shakes his head slowly. He rewinds the last few moments in his head. "The last thought I heard was before you came." "Huh." Tim sits back on his heels, gazing at him thoughtfully. "That's fascinating. I guess the powder links the telepathy to the buildup of sexual tension, so the release of that severs the ability. But the really interesting part is the way the telepathic bond formed. I wonder if it was proximity, or maybe the dust just used our pre-existing relationship to grow as strong as it did." "Jesus, such a nerd," Jason says fondly. He pushes up on his elbows. "I can't believe you're thinking about that right now. Hey, ask me what you were thinking." "What?" "The question you asked, or thought at me, whatever. The one I couldn't hear. What was it?" Tim ducks his head. "It doesn't matter, not if you can't hear me. I just wondered if you'd ever forgive me for, well, this." He flaps a hand vaguely around his head. "Nothing to forgive," Jason promises. "It's the truth. They're probably gonna have to have some weird conversations in the next couple of days, but none of them need to be about forgiveness. I don't know how you live like that, it's so loud in your head all the time, but I'm not mad I got to see it for a little while." Tim smiles, and Jason thinks he's happy, even though there's a thread of anxiety still running through it. "So where does this leave us?" Well, I gotta do some laundry," Jason says, shocking a snort of laughter out of Tim. "And so do you, actually. So why don't you come over and we can get cleaned up, and then maybe we can get messy all over again." "Really?" Tim asks. Jason hates that he doesn't trust it, but he thinks he can change that in time. "Really, let me just call Constantine again. He needs to come do his magical hazmat shit with that packing crate," Jason says. "No need, lad." Constantine's gravelly voice rings out from the back of the warehouse. "Took the initiative myself already." His tall frame melts out of the shadows. "All sorted now." Constantine sketches a bony hand through the air and opens a portal for himself, a slice carved out of reality, framed by colorful sparks and a low whooshing noise. He turns toward Tim and Jason and bows sarcastically. "Oh, and before I forget," he says, before stepping backwards through the portal, "thanks for the free show." The end.